been focusing in our studies on getting to know Jesus better. And really kind of with the foundational question is, do you know my Jesus? And looking at and filling in the rest of that with looking at different characteristics of Jesus and things that the Bible says about Jesus and who he really is. And so we've talked about looking at Jesus as the Creator and as Emmanuel, as the Word, as a teacher, as a Lamb, and as a servant, and as our Savior. Well, today I want us to take a look at Jesus, and the question is, do you know Jesus as our Prince of Peace? Okay, and of course the songs that we've been singing, Steve, is put together to kind of go along with that. So we want to look at Jesus as being the Prince of Peace. And in one of those songs that Steve had is a song directly from the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah is referred to as the Messianic prophet because much of what Isaiah had to say had to do with prophecies that were telling about the coming of Jesus as the Messiah. And this particular one in Isaiah chapter 9, in verse 6, he says, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." And so what we have from Isaiah there is pointing to Jesus and giving us some various descriptives of what Jesus is going to do and what he's going to be all about. And so he would be that Wonderful Counselor, and he would be the Mighty God, and he would be the Everlasting Father, but he would also be, and he would bring with him peace. He would be the Prince of Peace for us. And so we look at those descriptive roles, and so I want to call your attention this morning to Jesus as our peacemaker. Okay, Jesus is a peacemaker. That's part of why he came here. And we're going to see what that really means for you and I in our lives today. And we start out in understanding that concept a little bit better over in Colossians chapter 1. Now, when we think about someone being a peacemaker, then what does that typically imply? Well, usually it has something to do with there is some kind of a problem between two parties, right? There's war, or there's at least bad feelings that are going on between two parties, and that's why you need a peacemaker. If everybody's getting along and everything's good, you don't need a peacemaker because there's already peace, right? We need a peacemaker when things aren't going very well. Well, the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the church in Colossae, describes why it was necessary for Jesus to come and to be a Prince of Peace and to bring peace and to be a peacemaker. Look at what he says in chapter 1, beginning in verse 19. "For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross." So there is a necessity for reconciliation. And that's what Jesus accomplished, but that reconciliation was accomplished, or peace was made, through His blood shed on the cross. Well, then we have to ask, but wait a minute, why did we need that to begin with? Why do we need this peace? Why did Jesus have to die on the cross in order to reconcile and make peace? Well, it's because of what He says next. Look at what He says in verse 21. "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation." So you see, the necessity is that you and I were once enemies of God. That's where the trouble was, you see. Like we were saying, when everybody's getting along, we don't need a peacemaker, do we? But the problem is that because we sin, we have established a problem between us and God. Once a person sins, then there is, in a sense, a state of war. Paul uses the word enemy. We have become enemies of God when we sin. You say, but it's the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross that makes peace between the two parties here. That is, between us and God. So, isn't it great that Jesus came as the Prince of Peace to be a peacemaker so that we would no longer be considered God's enemies, but rather could be considered to be His friends? That's what a peacemaker does. A peacemaker gets in there and figures out, okay, here's what everybody's done, here's what the situation is, and here's what needs to be done in order to bring peace to this circumstance. And that's what Jesus did. He said, you know what? Here's the circumstances. Here's what God did. He created mankind in His image, and He poured out His love upon them, and man rejected that love and sinned. That was our part. And here's what needs to be done in order to make peace. Some blood has to be shed. And so Jesus came and He made peace by shedding His blood on the cross of Calvary for us, so that we would no longer be enemies of God, but peace would reign with us. Now, we go on and we continue looking at this, and we realize that with this whole idea of Jesus coming and bringing peace, once peace has been established, one of the things that you want to do is to work hard at maintaining the peace, right? Because you don't want to go back to the state of war, okay? So you have to maintain the peace. And sometimes that's not easy to do, depending on the circumstances. But nonetheless, that's what the task is to maintain the peace. Well, we have a problem. And that problem is that we have a human nature. And that human nature wants to tend to sin. And when we sin, that causes problems again between us and God. So how do we overcome that problem? And I think the Apostle Paul answers that when he talks about us having a guard. Okay, this is point two on your outline. A guard at the gates. Look in Philippians chapter 4. How do we maintain this state of peace between us and God that Jesus has established through His blood on the cross? Well, look at what Paul says here. Some things that he tells us that we need to do. Okay? Beginning in verse 4, first of all, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I will say it again, rejoice. Well, you know, if you think about it, and that verse is, it's one that we, you know, quote all the time, you know, but what is he really telling us here? Is that a matter of that we're just supposed to walk around all the time going, "Man, I'm just so happy, you know, no matter what?" No, I don't think that's his point. But whatever is going on in our lives, good or bad, we need to rejoice in the fact that we have God as our Father and that peace has been established, you see. And whatever is going on, we have His power to help us to deal with it. So you know what? Whether good or bad, that's something to rejoice about. And we should be able to rejoice in that. So it's not this, you know, giggly going around all the time with a big happy smile on your face pretending that everything is good. That's not what he's saying there. But rejoice that we have a God who loves us and cares for us and provides for us. Look at what he says next. "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." Now look at verse 6. Okay? "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Now, that's one of those circumstances that we oftentimes find when our life is in turmoil, isn't it? We have a way of getting anxious about things, don't we? You see? When things aren't working, when we have problems going on, then we tend to get anxious and Satan's in there working on us, getting us to worry more and more and more. But yet, Paul here is telling us, don't be anxious about anything. You see? Don't let anxiety take over, you know, for you. Instead, what does he tell us to do? By prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So whatever's going on in your life, good or bad, and especially if you got some turmoil going on, what do you need to do about it? Bring it to God. You say, bring it to Him. Because you know what's happening when we are anxious? We are not at peace. You see? When we're anxious, we're not at peace. And Jesus being the peacemaker, He wants us to be at peace. So He wants us to bring these things to Him so He can restore peace to our lives. And then look at verse 7, what He says. When we, instead of being anxious about things, by prayer and petition present our request to God, we get guards. We get some guards. Okay? Look at what he says. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So basically, what he's telling us here is that we get guards for our heart and our mind, so that we can have peace, even in the midst of the turmoil. Because Jesus, being the peacemaker, is the one who provides that peace for us. But we've got to have guards there. Because you know what? I don't know about you, but for me, on my own, when I try to, you know, wrestle with some of these things that I deal with, I don't find a whole lot of peace there. See? And I typically don't handle them very well. I don't know about you, but I'm just talking about me here. Okay? But when I rely on the guard that God has placed in my heart and my mind, it helps me to keep my thinking straight, and it helps me to keep my feelings in line. And if you think about it, that's where Satan usually attacks us, isn't it? It's with our thinking and with our feelings. You see? And that's what gets us into trouble. At least that's what gets me into trouble. You see? When my thinking starts going strange and my feelings are all out of whack, I'm typically not going to respond very well. But when I rely on the guard that God has given me for my heart to keep my feelings where they need to be, and I rely on the guard that He's provided me to keep my thinking straight, then I am at peace with whatever is going on, and I am much better able to face and to deal with the situation and the circumstance. And that's how we keep the anxiety at bay. And so God has provided for us the guards at the gate. But what we've got to do is access them, and we do that by prayer and petition. That's why he says, don't be anxious about the stuff. Instead, go to God and pray to Him and petition Him with whatever is going on. And the peace of God, which, you know, I admit it, I can't always understand how He does these things. It's beyond my understanding. But He says, that peace will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. We need those guards. Because, as we've talked about many, many times, and I just keep reminding you of this, because we are constantly in the midst of spiritual warfare. So we need the guards at our heart and our mind to protect us and to defend us so that we can indeed have peace and not be anxious about anything. Now, and then the last part about this to think about, let me ask you this question. What do you have on your feet? Shoes? Okay? Socks, shoes, sandals. Folks down in the deep south about this time of the year say nothing. Okay? I like the bare feet. Okay? I like to feel that dirt between my toes. Alright? But you see, here's the reason I ask that is because what's on your feet is really important when it comes to having peace. Okay? Look over in Ephesians chapter 6. when Paul here is talking about, again, spiritual warfare, and hopefully we can see how important this really is to us, he talks about each piece of armor that God has provided for us so that we can be victorious in the spiritual battles that we face each day of our lives. And I want to draw your attention down to verse 15. Look at what he says. He talks about all these other pieces of armor. He says, "And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace." So therefore, the question, what's on your feet? You say, what's on your feet? Are your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace? Or do you have something else on your feet? You see, I've known people, especially in the realm of marriage counseling over the years, I've known people that are wearing quicksand on their feet. Okay? In other words, they have taken a position in their battle with someone else, and sometimes in the marriage it's with their spouse, they've taken a position where their feet are sunk in and they're not moving them. You see? And sometimes it's because, you know, hey, I'm the one who always, you know, gives in, I'm this, and this time, you know, it's that, I oftentimes refer to as that line in the sand. I'm not moving. I'm the one who always apologizes. I'm the one who's always, you know, and so they said, no more, that's it. Well, you know, that's not going to solve anything, is it? And I think that's one reason why Paul here, when it comes to spiritual warfare, is telling us what we need to have on our feet. A readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Well, the gospel, the Bible is the gospel of peace. As we've already seen, it's the story of how God has made peace with us through His Son. And if our feet are fitted with the readiness that comes from this gospel of peace, then instead of standing our ground and burying our feet in the sand so that we're not going to be movable, we're going to be taking that gospel of peace from our heart to the person that we're having whatever struggle is we're having, and we're going to do whatever we can to seek and to make peace with that person or those people. See? That's what having the right shoes or the right things on our feet does for us in the midst of turmoil in our relationship. And that's why it's so important for us to be able to look at and notice and recognize, what do you have on your feet? See? If you're wearing lead boots, then you're not going to move very fast, are you? But if you're wearing the gospel of peace, then you're going to run to the other person to seek peace, to be able to reconcile that relationship between you and them. And that's as God would have it. Matthew chapter 5, in that, as the guys were talking about, that really long verse we had this morning, actually, it's from a very long passage called the Beatitudes. But I wanted you to focus on that one verse this morning where Jesus, the Prince of Peace, reminds us and tells us, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." See? That He calls upon us as His children to be peacemakers, to seek peace, and to go to one another when there is some kind of turmoil, when there is some kind of, it doesn't necessarily have to be full-fledged warfare, but some kind of struggle that's going on between us, He wants us to seek peace. Because that's what He has done for us, between us and Him. He's made peace with us. And the cost of that peace was the blood of His Son. Now, before we finish up, there's one other thing that I want you to think about. You know, I've been focusing this on two main areas here. Number one is making peace with God and the fact that God has sent His Son to die for us and shed His blood to make peace with us who are sinners. And the other is for us to be able to make peace with one another, with people. When we mess up things and we're, you know, the relationships aren't working, that we should be seeking peace and making peace with one another. But finally, there's one other area, and that is that we need to make peace with ourselves. And the reason that I say that is because there's a lot of people who, though God has forgiven them of sin and tried to make peace with them over those things, Satan has a way of trying to hold us captive, and so we don't make peace with ourselves. We never forgive ourselves and let go of those things. And so we just continue to make war by beating up on ourselves over what we have done. And if Jesus is really, truly to be the peacemaker in our lives, then it's not enough for us just to make peace with God and just to make peace with one another. We've got to make peace with ourselves. And that means to get rid of and to let go of whatever that is that Satan would be trying to hold you in bondage to, convincing you perhaps that God can never forgive you of that, so forget it, that it's just too bad and that God doesn't love you, and all of those other lies that Satan tells us. We need to make peace with ourselves. If you don't make peace with yourself, then how can you really truly make it with God and with other people? We've got to learn how important it is to make peace with ourselves. Jesus came as the Prince of Peace. He came as a peacemaker. And the question this morning for you to focus on is, do you know my Jesus, the peacemaker? Have you made peace with God through the blood of Jesus in your own life by accepting Jesus as your Savior? By repenting of the sins that have separated you from God and having those sins washed away in baptism, have you made peace with God in that way yet? It's there for you. All you have to do is accept His peace. And maybe there's somebody here this morning that's already done that, and you're trying to live your life for Christ, but maybe Satan has got you all tangled up in the lies that he's telling you to where you can't make peace even with yourself. And if that's the case that's going on with you this morning, I urge you, make peace with yourself. And if there's something we can do to help you, maybe it's prayer or guidance or encouragement, that we can help you to make peace with yourself. And let us know that. Let's do that this morning. And finally, there may be somebody here this morning that's at war with someone else. Maybe there's someone in your relationship that's just not working. Will you make peace with that person? You say, and do you need help with that? Maybe someone to go as a neutral party to help you to talk with this person and to work those things out, whatever it might be. Maybe it's just prayers of encouragement or guidance, whatever it might be, to help you to make peace with whoever you need to make peace with. That's what we're all about this morning, getting to know Jesus as peacemaker. So if we can help you in any way this morning to do that and to find that peace that passes all understanding, we want to be able to do that. All you have to do is come up and let me know what we can do. Ted will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have a private talk or prayer with him in the back, and I'll be up here to receive anyone who want to come up front. Let's stand together and sing. Steve?